Perfect. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Sullivan. With me, as always, I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'll let him have the floor, the one and only Kevin Trussler. Kevin, take it away, buddy.
Well, you know, in the days of darkness, the Jays, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But today, you know, the Sun Lake High School swim team here out of Land O'Lakes, they took it to regionals, and the girls, they won it all. And the boys, they came in second. You know, extremely proud of that team and the dedication and the work that they put in. You know, my wife is one that she puts on the pasta dinners every Tuesday night at the rec center for them. You know, couldn't be more proud of my daughter, Callie. Like, she absolutely destroyed it today. It was fun to watch, man. Yeah.
What are you enough of a swim dad to tell me what events she partook in today?
Yeah, I might butcher it. You know, she's in the IM, the individual medley 200. Okay. So that's doing all four strokes, and she actually dropped 6 seconds today.
Wow, that's a great
on
PR.
That, which is incredible. Yeah. Yep. So the other one was the 100 free. She dropped, I think it was about 4 seconds on that one. And then she was part of the 4x1 relay.
And oh, very cool.
Actually, she was in the second leg, did extremely well. Now the girls ended up coming in third, but proud of all of them. They show up. I've said it before, swimmers are a different breed, right? The two-a-days with the morning practice and then, you know, dry land and then back in the pool in the afternoon. I don't know how they do it. I think you have to be a little bit sick in the mind to want to do that. We'll see. You know, I know that a lot of the teammates qualified for states next week up in Ocala, but for Cal, we'll find out how she, you know, she's right on the cusp. We'll find out after the other regions finish up their meets, and that'll be Sunday. So hopefully we'll have a ticket to Ocala next weekend, but if not, it was a great way to go out because she killed it.
Very cool. No, and for most of you who don't know this, I was a 3-year varsity swimmer back in my day. We had to have the donkeys bring the water to the pool for us to fill it up and swim in. It was so long ago, but swimming is a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, and the ones that can do it well, I was decent, but not nearly what Callie is. And the ones that can do it well, they glide differently. You know, just like you see a great skater on the ice or whatever, right? A good swimmer just glides different. The water moves differently around them. Like, it's impressive to watch. So glad for that for you and Callie. And hopefully she does punch a ticket to Ocala, and you guys get to experience that with her next weekend. That'd be awesome.
And for those listening, we'll get greasy pigeon squeezers for the swimmers in us for Christmas.
I swam so long ago. Those weren't even out yet. We were still in the old school regular Speedo bathing suits, which we can stop all conversation about that right now. So, Kev, let's transition to another championship of sorts that did not give you the same happy feeling by the time it was all said and done. And I'll be honest, I did not watch. This was actually, let me just back up. This season was the most baseball I've watched in years. I fell out of love with the game. I was a Red Sox. I am a Red Sox fan. Pre-04, I was all in. And then during that run, 04, 07, 11, 13, or 13, 17, I think it was. Yeah, Bruins were 11, 13, 17. When you're from Boston, it's hard to keep all the championships separated.
Too many rings.
Very hard.
Too many rings.
So, no. So during that run, it was awesome. But then the game to me got boring. The rivalries fell apart. The Yankees weren't good. The Red Sox weren't good. The game was slow, right? 4 or 5 hour games every single night. I watched a lot of baseball this year. I actually like what the pitch clock is doing to these games. I think it's good. The playoffs I did find interesting. I watched Red Sox Yankees this year. I watched some of the World Series. I tuned in at the end of Game 7. Looked like I was going to be celebrating with the maple syrup with you. I mean, just walk us through Game 7 in your house and, man, what that was like.
Well, first and foremost, like, just that whole series, I watched every single game. And, you know, that marathon game of what was it, Game 3, when they went 18 innings?
Yes, 3. Yeah, because then the Dodgers lost 4 and 5 in L.A.
That's so... was up for that entire game. And, you know, needless to say, I know I told you that, you know, I turned the TV off before Freddie Freeman rounded first base in that game. But, you know, like you said, I loved baseball growing up and, you know, fell out of love with the game for those same reasons, just long, it seemed drawn out. And I think the pitch count, you know, if you want to intentionally walk someone, you just put them on. But the game, the playoffs were just electric. I mean, you're at the edge of your seat, whether, you know, you're a fan of either either team. I personally thought the Dodgers were going to win in six. And the fact that the Jays had the mental fortitude to come out in game four and win that game and then put on a show in game five, you know, coming back to Toronto, I didn't want to count the chickens before they're hatched, so to speak. But I would have thought win one out of those two and we have it. And game seven, man, you're an inch away in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And coulda, shoulda, wouldas, right? Good teams find a way to win, and not that the Jays found a way to lose. They just, they came up against a juggernaut of the Dodgers, and, there's some unsung heroes. You got Max Muncy, hitting a bomb, and, Will Smith with the game winner at the end. I mean, that dude, if you look at him, he's been in the World Series the past 4 years in a row, I think it is. It's ridiculous.
Sixth win in a row.
We talk about what Ohtani has done, and it's ridiculous. But, they crippled a nation. I'm going to tell you that right now. I was definitely the old cloud was over the head for at least the next 2 days. But just so proud of that team. I mean, they genuinely loved playing with one another, right? It's just one of those groups that you could tell that they were in it as a team, no matter, how deep they were in the hole. They always felt that they could come on out. And, they played ball the right way. It's one of those things, get them on, get them over, get them in. How often do you see bunting now? Like, they were just doing the fundamentally sound things that if I were coaching youth baseball, you can't help but want to have those kids watch how that team played, because, essentially LA started to do those things as the series went on, because they had to, but it's the little things that you do at the youth level that when you see it being executed at the pro level, it's just absolutely fun to watch, because the game doesn't change, just the speed does. They took us on a ride. Again, Toronto would have been on fire. The country of Canada would have been on fire if they would have won. But, the Dodgers proved what a returning champion or back-to-back champion can do. But my hat's off to the fellows up there, because I did fall in love with the game again. It was fun from the playoffs on. So,
well, and Toronto clinched in game 182. So they weren't even, they had no run up to the playoffs. They were fighting all the way through the end of the season to clinch, right?
For that top spot. Well, for the top spot with the Yankees, right? They ended up just behind the Brewers for the top spot within in the
AL East.
The East. Yep. Gotcha. And because they had to head to head against the Yankees, that's what gave them home field advantage.
Kept them out of that opening series with the Red Sox, and they gave those Red Sox Yankees instead of Red Sox Blue Jays, which who knows?
You're right. That's
if they would have I don't know the standings as well, like the playoff seedings, right? Yeah. But if the Yankees and Blue Jays swap spots, I would assume that would have just swapped the matchup, correct?
It would have. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I forgot that the Yankees, they played the Red Sox.
What you don't know there, does Red Sox Blue Jays go different? Because Red Sox Yankees went to the end of game three. So does Red Sox Blue Jays end differently? And it's not even the run you went on. Like, that's the magic of sports. Well, you don't know.
It's one of those where the Jays took it to the wire every single time. And, we talked about it, right, with Chris the last time we were on, the rest versus rust. The Jays were one of those teams that they did not have much time in between, each series. They were able to keep that momentum going. And, there's some guys on that team, man. We talk about playoff and the injury list at the end of the playoffs, but, seeing what George Springer went through, I mean, that man, I thought his kneecap was broken in the Seattle series, and then I thought he tore his oblique in game four of the Dodgers, and, there he was back in game seven. So, and then you got Bichette that had a bad knee.
That's right.
Everyone's nicked up, right? But, what the Dodgers pitching staff was able to do was just unbelievable.
The $1.2 billion worth of pitchers they put on the mound in game seven alone.
Hey, you know what? It came through for them, right?
Cool, so, buddy, I guess.
If you're willing to spend that, that's not in my pocket, I can tell
ROI, I guess, right? ROI if you're in LA. So, no, it was an exciting series, and it will be nice. I'm looking forward to baseball starting back up in the fall. There is the World Baseball Classic or some event preseason this year again.
End of March. Yeah. Okay. And, I think what you know, what the Four Nations Cup did with hockey. I think that's just going to fuel. I think you're going to see a lot more of, you know, each country's top players, more importantly, the U.S., right? You know, a lot of guys are on big contracts, so they don't want to ruin, ruin themselves per se, but Japan is the inaugural returning champion, so it should be fun to see how these guys lace them up at the end of March. And you know, when you're playing for your country, it's a completely different level, right?
Well, you'd like to think that they take a page out of the NHL book, like you said, right? The top players, you know, McDavid didn't sit home because he's a great player, and that Marchand and whatever, right? They were on the ice playing for their country in that air quote exhibition game, you know, tournament that everyone took super serious. And now you have the Olympics and hockey in 2026. So it's going to be absolutely best on best, and no one's going to stay home. So hopefully baseball can pull from that, get the love back in the sport. It can be a very fun sport to watch. It's delayed. It's suspense, right? It's delayed gratification as opposed to hockey, which is kind of instant gratification. So if you're into that, like, it's a lot of fun to watch. And that's where I found myself falling back in love with the sport in that way.
Yeah, it's situational, just like hockey is, right? But like, it's just like chess, like every single play, it's batter and pitcher. And, yeah, you know, you got runners on, and if it goes this way, what do you do? If it goes that way, what do you do? No different than hockey, but at a, I'm not going to say slower pace, because every pitch is intense, definitely in the playoffs, but you know, you got to be on your toes, and you know, you can't sit and rest and get caught napping, because one mistake can ruin it for you.
Ninth inning pitch in the wrong spot on a 3-2 count can change the whole
game.
Dude, you
know what's so funny about that? It's, I go and I kiss of death, right? I'm like, yeah, we haven't seen too many broken bats in the playoffs. And what happens?
Yeah, that too.
You know, Kirk breaks his bat, and he's the, you know, definitely the most, not the most fleet of foot.
Yes.
So, tough way to end it. But, you know, hats off to the Dodgers. They made the plays when they had to. And, yep. You know, if every World Series or Stanley Cup or, you know, you name it, NBA play, if they can go seven and you go overtime, extra innings, wow, it's your money's worth right there. You got the two right teams.
Yeah. I bet you Toronto takes that padding and digs it into the dirt next year at the Rogers Center and does not let that ball bounce underneath.
All the years that I've watched Toronto baseball, I've never seen a ball. And that would have tied it. Yep. That would have tied it. It wouldn't mean they would have won, but right, you know, the outcome is different. And again, kudos to that fielder for knowing the rule of not touching it, put your hands up. And you have to know, for those kids that are listening, you got to know the rules of the game, because yep, if he touches that ball, then it's a live ball and, you know, it is what it is. But yep, instead he knew the rule and, you know, hey, I don't know what the grounds crew is going to do, but yeah, they're going to staple that down.
Something.
For
that
sure.
Ball,
yeah.
That's the last ball ever get caught under that padding in Toronto, right? But it's the same, you know, same way in hockey, just to put a bow on this before we move on, you know, it's same way in hockey, right? Know the rule when you're coming out of the penalty box. If you're going on for that guy coming out of the box, your feet better not touch the ice till he's in your bench. They are, you know, those, especially if the puck's on your side of the ice, right? Like, knowing the rule and knowing what to do and how to do it is integral in the game. So don't just think that the ref's going to teach you the game at 12 and 14 years old. Like, if you're old enough to be listening to our advice, you're old enough to know the rules, start to know the rules and learn the rules. And as we had a lot of players did this in the U16 level, go to the free reffing clinics, go to the reffing clinics, ref the mites. Even if you never ref anything but mites, just to learn the game, it makes you a better, more observant hockey player at the older levels. 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, you're skating too, right? And you're giving back to the game. But yeah, you know, like you said, before your skates touch the ice, you better know situationally, like, what are you going to do? Because, hey, we've all been there when we played. It might be the worst change in the world, but you have to get off because you're either gassed or you're not thinking straight, or, you know, you just got dinged up. It's you have to understand the situations each and every time before you get out there. And, you know, as soon as you get off, that's when you take a breather. But, you know, when you're ready to go, you got to know where you're at in the game, and, you know, situational all the time. And coaches too, right? I mean, I've been caught napping before, Jeff.
Oh, yes, you have. Yes. Where's the tendy? But I will save that story. We've told it before. We'll tell it again, but we won't tell it right now. So no, Kev, let's I want to transition and talk about something more close to home. And just for those of you listening, We are joined in a little bit when we come back from break here in just a few minutes. Adriana Miller is a Jacksonville Luna. She plays in the U16 team with in the inaugural SFGHL season. Great interview. Great to talk to. Looking forward to hearing more about her story and her journey and what she's going through in the new girls league and how that game is coming along, specifically in the women's sport. Again, we champion the women's game any chance we get with our friend MK from Minnesota Duluth, who's having a great season. They're ranked, I think, 4 and 5 on the 2 different coaching polls this year, doing really good things up in Minnesota. So just great to talk more about the girls game and get to introduce you to Adriana Miller. So stay tuned for that conversation here in just a few minutes. But until we get there, Kev, talk about something a little closer to home here. We'll give our greasy 2 cents on it. We had a U14 team out of Oldsmar that disbanded kind of out of the blue. So from what I understand and talking to a few people that I know kind of close to the situation, they started the season fairly strong, went to the finals in a tournament, semifinals in another tournament. We're 6 games in, you know, not getting blown out like we. Sully had an experience in U12 AA where we were not a AA team, but we played AA all season and it was a Peach King season, Kev. 1,000,001 or whatever it was. Like, it wasn't pretty. But
those are the ones you remember. Those
you remember. And I remember every and I still drink a beer with that coach of that team every so often when we can. Yeah. And great group of guys there and whatever else. You learn a lot from a season like that, right? But then out of nowhere, their coach left. Just from what I understand, was there one day, gone the next. So another coach stepped in and was all in and doing a great job and everything was humming along until it wasn't. And I don't want to spread rumors and I don't have the true facts. I don't know, you know, other than the people in that made the decisions, I'm sure no one has the true facts, right? But kids left, they were allowed to leave, I guess. And the only way I can say that this is the only thing that would be factual from the rules, they went and are now playing with other organizations in the same level, which means they had to have been released from the organization. So the organization had to have let them out. Why, I don't know, you know, and I don't want to cast aspersions without knowing facts, right? So I'm not going to go down that road. But on a higher level, Kev, you've been part of groups where you're coaching where kids have wanted to leave just before the season, after signing, maybe during the season, you had to talk them out of it or let them go or whatever. Just at the end of the day, the coach left, a couple kids left, the team fell apart. I don't think everyone's going to find a spot. You're going to have some kids that maybe don't play the rest of the way, right? So the decisions of a few now affect 12, 14, 15 kids in the middle. U14, that's a tough year to miss a season if you can't find a landing spot. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't love the way it looks. I feel bad for the people involved. I feel bad for the organization. I feel bad for the team. It's just not good all the way around. And it sucks that it's still happening. And I think it ties into what we've talked about a few times on the show, Kev, where what still makes Florida hockey not where it needs to be is shit like this when it happens.
Yeah, I think the most disappointing thing is the timing of the year, right? You know, when we've had teams where we still had roster spots and really needed, you know, some players to join the team because of sickness or injury, and we were just shorthanded. Then it comes down to, are they, you know, can we get players to play enough games so that they qualify if you're lucky enough to make the Sehoff state champion, you know, chip tournament? For it to happen, don't know what happened with the coach. I mean, life happens, but you'd like to think when you have your roster together and you get together in August and you're all in. We've talked about it. Peach King season, 134-1. You know, there were some people that left the team, but for the most part, the guys that I played with, we stuck together. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was the most memorable season that I ever had in my playing career, just because of, you know, we were always in it until we weren't. And, you know, at the end of the day, we had a fun time. It was fun. And, you know, with the parents, at the U14 level, you know, again, seeing your kid go through a little bit of adversity, you said it yourself, you know, Sully saw a ton of rubber the first year of AA down here. You know, it may have not looked good on the score sheet or in the standings, but that's character building. And, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, collectively, and I don't know the group, but you'd like to think that at least, you know, 10, 12 of them could have said, we're in it for the end, you know, right. And, you know, whether it means piecemealing coaches together until someone can get certified and get in there. You know, I think that's an opportunity that was lost by that team for a learning moment for those kids. But like you said, the most important thing is for those kids that aren't able to find a landing spot, it's heartbreaking because, you know, down here, if Florida hockey starts end of August and, you know, the rubber hits the road, October Labor Day, is baby. Full. Yep. Well, it's full. Yeah, you're playing, you know, two games each weekend for the most part every weekend. It's an 18-game season and, you know, things become definitely tough to try and piecemeal unless you're going to tournaments. And that's how we were able to do it, to get kids qualified under the USA Hockey guidelines is to be able to have them dress in tournaments that we were already committed to. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's heartbreaking again to see that a team, you know, everyone starts the season with sunshine and rainbows. And, you know, it's funny. There's only one winner, right? So right. There's only one winner in a season when it comes down to it that's moving on or lifting the championship. The rest is, you know, it's learning and growing from it. And that's a huge opportunity that I think that those kids and families are missing out on.
And I will say one of the last pieces on this that I did get kind of informed about, there was a conversation that there was some chemistry, some structure issues, and maybe some locker room issues, right? So of course, if there's locker room scenarios, and I'll use the bullying word just so that's when everyone understands, you know, safe sport violations and things like that, then the conversations about removing people from teams or whatever are legit conversations that need to be had. And that's why there's a board and a management structure and a structure in place to take care of those situations, if that's what this was, to still allow the rest of the team to continue on, right? Like very few things are that level bad where the best option is to shut the team down without any further kind of diving or options for rectification, right? So I'd like to think it's not that. I hope it's not that, right? I hope it wasn't that. I don't want it to be anything. I definitely don't want it to be that. But we've been privy to some things that happened in the past, Kev, that were bad, safe sport type violation stuff in the locker room, and the teams continued playing on with or without certain people that weren't allowed to play anymore or whatever. So these things happen, they get handled, they move on. For a team to have issues and then parents wake up to an email that says the team is done is a weird, and this is what I've been told. Maybe it didn't happen that way. Maybe it did. Maybe the truth somewhere in the middle, which is what I'm going to probably guess, right? But from what I understand, team was there one day, team was not there the next day. That's a hell of a leap. And to your point, it's sad for the rest of the team that I'm sure were willing to continue on. I know one or two of the people I talked to were all in to stay regardless of what. So it wasn't that bad that everyone wanted out. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, right? They're 13, 14 years old. Like, we as adults have to take the charge on that. And, you know, going back to, like you said about, you know, any safe sport issues, it's why any coaching staff that I was a part of, or, you know, if I was the head coach, I wanted multiple adults in there because, look, this isn't our full-time job. And our job as coaches is to definitely instill good values in your children, but it's also, you know, it takes a village, right, to raise it. And you can't forget who's the adults in the room, and you got to be able to speak up when things don't look right, and you also got to be able to take charge and say that no, I will come in and we'll make this right. And again, don't know anything about what happened there. It does break my heart because I'm sure there's kids that are sitting on the sidelines and, you know, not able to join a travel team. You know, not that there's anything against playing at the lower levels, but, you know, you've committed and you felt like you're going to have a full season, and for it to be, to essentially be blown up by adults, it's just disappointing to hear. It is.
And the last thing I'll say on this, and then we'll move on and get to our guest and listen to her journey and let her explain why she loves the sport like we do here in a minute. But, you know, you especially, but even the year I coached, the year we were split up there in between, there's no coaching ego to the sense of it's one guy in the room, or like, we wanted multiple people, safe sport certified, USA Hockey certified, legal, signed up, rostered. Cause you can have as many coaches on your roster as you want for your organization. You just can only have so many on the bench. I mean, the second year I was not a bench coach. I was at practice. I was doing this. I was helping off the ice. I was helping before the game, after the game, blah, blah, blah. I just wasn't on the bench with you guys for that season. Okay, cool, whatever. So, but when you have those people that are allowed to be there, you're bringing more adults into the room that care about the kids and care about the game, and you're bringing that village to it. It's not this mindset of I'm the coach, I'm the guy, stay out of my way. Like set the expectation, and that's a hard part, right? Set the expectation. You don't get to come in. I wasn't allowed to bust in the room and, you know, go yell at you or what, because I'm on the staff. Like that, there's expectation setting here, but you always had that body to help out. And I find myself even doing that now, like just side story real quick with Sully's team, right? Like because we've been with these coaches 3 years now, there's a better relationship there and we're friends and we've interviewed him on the show and we actually go have drinks with them. We go out just to kind of keep relations up and whatever else. And they're great people. They're younger fucking kids, right? Compared to me, they're kids and they're coaching. Yeah. And it's like, and I'm out there, but like I'll go and we'll buy the snacks before the game. Like I'm still doing that, right? Like they don't need it, but I'm going to Walmart. I'm buying the granola bars and shit, and I'm putting them on the table for the boys, right? And they love it. The boys, they're 18, 19 years old. They're super respectful. You know, hey man, that's awesome. And some of them are coming on the show, right? So it's just this constant, like I can't get out of the game. I don't care what, but I'm respectful of when I'm allowed in, and I'm not trying to get in their space. And it's just knowing the room, but also having the expectations to know you're not in the way, but letting others in the circle to help with what's going on. Because like you said, it takes everybody.
Yeah, you can never have enough voices and opinions. Ultimately, it comes down to, you know, whether it's the one or two coaches that will make that final decision. You know, I learned so much from having guys that did not play hockey growing up on the staff, like with their life lessons. Again, it's silly not to listen to that and realize that, you know, there's value there. And at the end of the day, I mean, everyone wants the best for their kid. And hockey's the best team sport in the world, right? You can't be doing it if only one person is pulling the rope. Everyone's got to be pulling the rope in the right direction. And, you know, and that's parents too. It's setting the expectations. It's an emotional time. I mean, we don't like to see our kids either fail or, you know, get sad or, you know, those are all life learning lessons. And, you know, winning isn't everything. It's what you know, you hear it all the time with the great ones, right? Winning's great, but the lessons are learned in losing. And, yeah, you know, just for those listening, remember that, like, losses are probably a lot better than the wins. And it's funny. I think most professionals remember the losses more than they do the wins, just because of the journey it took, you know, after those losses to get there. Yeah, I hope for those that were affected that, you know, they've landed somewhere. And, you know, again, anyone else that's thinking about pulling the pin, hopefully if you're listening, that it's not worth it, you know. Yeah, enjoy it, ride it out. And, you know, February, March will be here before we know it, right? We always said the season speeds up like August, September, you know, October comes, and then November, December, January, it's like, here we go. It's gone. But, you know,
most teams have damn near a month off here shortly around the holidays, and then it's January and the season ends in February and then it's over. So you're almost coming to the end as it is. And as far as learning from your losses, that's why I send Kevin the files of all the stuff that makes the cutting room floor every time we cut a show, so he can continue to get better, baby.
Hey, trying to grow every single day.
Every single time, exactly.
It's a lot of footage, though. A lot of footage to get through there.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, big files. So, Kev, let's take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce you to Adriana Miller, U16 Jacksonville Luna of the SFGHL, next in The Nest. Welcome back, everybody. As promised, we are joined by our guest, Adriana Miller, U16 Jacksonville Lunas of the newly found SFGHL, the Girls Hockey League here in Florida. Adriana also has been featured on a Greasy Pigeon top play a few weeks ago, which, as a side note, get your clips to us, DM on Instagram, Facebook. We love sharing your clips. Some goalie clips came in last week for the first time, Kev. Obviously, love sharing the tendies as a goalie dad here, but we'll get more into that when we do. Send us your videos. But Adriana Miller, appreciate you taking some time before practice from the car in the parking lot, dedication, joining us in the Pigeon's Nest tonight. Welcome to the Greasy Pigeon Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So, like I mentioned, you're U16, the Girls Hockey League here in Florida. Let's start right there. How is your season going? How has been the transition to the all girls game here in Florida? Just kind of give us what that looks like for you this year.
It's been going pretty good. We got to play at the Benchmark Arena actually last weekend, and we've just been having a pretty good season. The team's pretty good.
Love that you called it the benchmark, by the way. I'm still calling it Emily here and there. No, that's awesome. So who did you play down here in Tampa?
We played the Tampa Bay Crunch and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
14U and 16U.
They're, I believe, Jeff, they're out of Wesley Chapel, though. That's why the Crunch probably would come to mind on that, right?
Yeah, because they were also there at the tournament.
Gotcha.
So as we talked a little bit before, you are not a Floridian. You came down just like me and my family did with my son, who was a little younger than you did when you came down. But what first got you into hockey? How did you start in the sport? And what is it about the game that keeps you playing?
So I started playing floorball at my dad's job with the Rangers. And after that, I just decided that I wanted to quit dance and go to ice hockey.
So hold on. So did we just drop that dad's connected to the New York Rangers somehow? Let's unpack that for a second, Adriana.
He was able to get the New York Rangers at the job because they have a roller rink in the back. So he was able to get them in the back for the floorball. So I did during the summer.
That's awesome. Very cool.
At Bergen Beach.
Yeah.
So that was the taste that got you into hockey then?
Yep.
I love it. So how long have you been down in Florida then?
2 years.
2 years. So how would you like to explain to the listeners the hockey scene down here in Florida? You know, I believe it's the inaugural year for the girls league in Florida, right? That's correct. But, you know, how would you explain what the talent looks like, what the competition and more importantly, you know, how many people are coming on out to watch you guys?
There's a lot of good competition down here. I was like shocked when I came down here and saw like the teams and stuff. There's like a lot of good competition, a lot of teams. It's just a really good place to play.
And you came from New York, you were telling us before, like New York, like Brooklyn, I think you said, right?
Yes,
so what was the hockey like up there? Did you play ice at all up there for a little bit before you came here?
I learned how to play there. That's where I learned.
Okay. What was that hockey like when you were there? Was it just learn to play or did you get some competitiveness before you moved to Florida?
I played rec at this Aviator hockey and that like really set me up for my love. Like it really set me up.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the Brooklyn Aviators of the United States Premier Hockey League. Also, they have a junior team out of that same named program. Now they do anyway. So definitely a pathway there so that you know they got some good hockey there for sure.
They do.
What you got?
So when you came down to Florida, what was your expectations? Like, were you a little bit sad leaving New York where, you know, the game obviously in the Northeast is a lot more popular per se. It's grown significantly down here. But, you know, when you came down here a couple years ago and during your time the last 2 years, what has been the turnout as far as girls coming on out to play?
So we've had like a lot of girls come to play. I actually only played rec in New York, so I never really traveled around in New York, but there's a lot of good, like, just competition here, and there's just, like, a lot of girls coming to play, and it's just growing and growing.
Where are you traveling to? So you're in Jacksonville, you mentioned Wesley Chapel. Where else is the travel for the girls' league here now?
So we travel pretty much all the state of Florida. We go a little bit to Georgia and sometimes to, like, South Carolina.
Okay, so you're playing some tournaments out of state?
Yes, we do play some out of state, but we don't go super far. Most of them are in state.
Very cool. So, go ahead, Kev.
Oh, I was going to say, as far as like the girls that are on the team, is everyone from the Jacksonville area, or what's the furthest girl coming from for that particular team?
No, we have a lot of like outsiders. We have girls from Chicago, girls from New York, girls like from up, like we have a lot of mix. We don't have a lot from Jacksonville.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting. That's very cool.
That is. So yeah, practice tonight. I know we caught you just beforehand, right?
Yeah.
Are those girls coming in on Thursday to practice and then you all have games on the weekend, or how does that work as far as practice with the out of state players?
Oh, we don't have girls from out of state. We have girls that are from out of state. We just
Okay. That's Jeffy. Were you going where I went?
Yeah.
I was at first. Yes. I thought because we had a guest
originally,
on.
Yeah. They're originally from out of state.
Gotcha. Okay.
But they're in the Jacksonville area then.
Yeah. They're in the Jacksonville area now. They all live close by.
Gotcha. Yeah, we had
that's good to know.
Yeah, we had it because one of our guests a few weeks ago gave us a similar answer, except his teammates were from out of state living here just for the hockey season. So we thought you guys were in that same boat. So I was actually super floored when you were talking that way. So I got you. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, they all moved down here now. So we're all close to each other.
So when it comes to the game itself on the ice, let's talk about your game specifically. What position do you play and what is the strength of your game?
So I play center, and I'd say like my biggest strength is like I'm just like everywhere on the ice, and I'm like I'm willing to go everywhere. I'll take the puck up, like I'll just be able to support my teammates and things like that.
Big motor, always moving your feet, not afraid to get tired and quick short shifts and all that.
Yeah,
200-foot player. I like
that's right.
It.
Kevin's dream player right there.
100%. You got to play both ends of the ice, and specifically if you're on the dot, you know, face-off wins are key. You can't win if you don't have the puck, right? So it starts there with the center. So with your early career, 16U, what's your proudest moment so far on the ice?
So as a team, I'd say it's like going to the championships twice, and especially in our first year, because it was our first year ever being together as a team, and we made it to the championships.
Yeah.
And then personally, I'd say it's like my first season, I only scored one goal. And then once I got to my second season, I was able to score like 15 goals.
Wow.
Of my whole season.
It's a good jump. Kev, those big percentage numbers there. We like that.
Yeah. I know. Those are American numbers there, not Canadian numbers, right?
Correct.
So big jump in goal scoring. Do you look at yourself as a goal scorer? Do you like being a setup player? Describe your game a little bit further as far as the offensive side.
So obviously we all love to score goals, but I do like to help set my teammates up. Like whatever gets us points up, like whatever gets us goals up there.
It's awesome. It's important. And we talk, it's funny because you talk to a lot of kids and they talk about, like you just said, they want to be the person on the score sheet, but sometimes that pretty pass or that setup, that 2-on-1, right? That last dish, that's like the play that makes the play. And the teammate that scores, sometimes it's actually the easier of the two plays. So they recognize that pass. So that mindset is great. And like you said about the team first, like that was your first answer, was going to the team. That is so important in a team structure, obviously, as you know, to support each other. And from your standpoint, you know, being in the room and being on the bench with the girls, what is the team dynamic? Are you guys fun and loose and joking? Are you guys doing it? And we have a great friend of the show, MK O'Brien. She plays up at Minnesota Duluth. She's actually their captain this year, fifth year senior up there. And she's huge on social media. They do the TikToks and the dances and all the trends and things like that. Like, is that what your team is? Are you guys more serious? Like, but give us a slight glimpse on the bench and in the room.
So we have a very like fun team. They're very chatty. We have a very good like dynamic. We have like our own little Instagram account, and we just love to post and stuff.
I love it. As far as other hockey, you know, down here in the Tampa Bay area, there's high school hockey, and I know the girls are able to play with the boys and everything. How is it up there in the Jacksonville market? Are you also playing high school, or is it just the travel?
I just play travel because we don't really have like a high school team. I'm pretty sure we have like one.
Okay. So do you foresee that changing down the road where you'll have enough players to hopefully have more of a high school presence up there?
I do. I think that it's going to grow up here a lot, and we might get more high school teams.
Are you in the same rink as the junior Icemen, the SFHL?
Yes, the Community First Igloo.
Yeah, okay. So that program is finally back at all levels, I think, this year after kind of being back and forth. So are you seeing a lot of boys and the co-ed teams like being filled out? Like, is that rink busy all the time from what you can see now?
Yeah, it's pretty busy. There's a lot of boys.
Yeah. I just know that program got a little light. So to Kevin's point about the numbers growing in that area and more people playing hockey, that the high school teams and maybe the leagues can expand or, you know, whatever they have to do geographically, right? You guys are in your own little area up there compared to Orlando, West Palm Beach and Tampa. Like, it's just Florida's a big weird state when it comes to the little areas. So just interesting to see how Jacksonville is taking off. What would you say? So, you know, we just talked about the boys, you mentioned that. And what would you say you found so far as the biggest misconception of girls hockey? Like when people think of girls hockey in the sport, what do you think they think it is, and why are they wrong? And tell us what it really is.
I think that they think that it's like less aggressive and it's just boring, but that's like not true. Like as the girls get older, they get more and more aggressive. Like they're not afraid to like just check you or anything like that.
Adriana, I could not agree with you more.
Correct.
Absolutely. One, I coached at the high school level down here and had the pleasure of coaching a couple really strong girls. But more importantly, you know, tonight there's an exhibition game going on in Buffalo, right? You've got the U.S. against Canada in the women's hockey. And I will stop everything to watch those two teams play, because you are right. The girls go after each other in such a way, it is unbelievable to watch. And, you know, it's misconception is definitely right when people think that it's not going to get nasty, because you girls definitely will get after one another.
Yeah.
But there's always a, you know, friendship at the end of the day.
So the more importantly, though, more importantly, I need to know, are you going into the corners? Are you giving the extra little two hand? Are you getting a little aggressive in the corners, Adriana? Is that your game?
Oh, definitely. I like to play a little bit more of an aggressive game, like going at it with people.
We call that
battles. I love those.
Yeah, we call that on this show greasy, which is really, really good.
So with you being a high school athlete, how do you balance, you know, school, social life, and not getting burned out by just being at the rink all the time?
So I do have later practices, which is perfect to get schoolwork done, like talk to my friends and things like that. But my parents were also like, they participated in youth sports. So they do help guide me with things like that.
Did you play any other sports prior to strapping on the Jets?
So I didn't do travel for anything else. I danced for a little bit. I did gymnastics for a little bit, but nothing like crazy competitive.
I bet you all of that body control and strength and core definitely transfers over to the ice. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I have no core, Jeff. No core.
None. Well, you have a lot of core, just nothing that's useful. Yeah, exactly.
It's mush.
Yeah. So what part of the game are you working on? Like, you know, are you in the place where you're still trying to refine your skating? Are you trying to master the wrist shot? Like, what part of your game do you find during practice that you're really focusing on trying to improve specifically?
Trying to practice more of like my puck handling and like getting a harder like wrist shot, like just working more on like my puck.
Yeah. Well, and like our friend MK said on the show, you know, when she was coming up, that's the driveway stuff, you know, and I don't know. I know dad's probably listening. We got to get, you know, if dad doesn't have the setup for you already, we got to get that net, the shooting pad and all that stuff rolling in the driveway. Cause that's where those skills get really, really, you know, honed in on.
Yeah.
Good.
So as far as your pregame ritual, how do you get, you know, do you get psyched up over certain, you know, music, food? Is there anything, you know, crazy?
Superstitions.
Superstitions that get you going.
So my dad does like put a bunch of hype speeches on, like Miracle, Facing the Giants.
Nice. Good.
So we listen to all those. And then we also, me and my teammates, we do pray before every game.
Very cool.
It. Nice.
Is there
pre-game meal?
Yeah, that's what I'm going
sorry,
to.
I was yep, jumping no, in front of you there,
pre-game
bud.
Meal. That's where I was going.
I don't really have like a set pregame meal. It's just whatever gives me the most energy. I will eat like a honey stinger and have a shot of honey before a game, but like I don't have like a set pregame meal that I eat.
You're not doing the pasta and chicken every time, or chicken tendies from Wawa or something like that. Awesome. Well, let's see. One or two more here for you. I like this one. So we ask a lot of our players this one. What is one of the most Florida things? Have you seen like a Florida thing at the rink? Because the list is long when you've been around the rink as long as Kevin and I have been. So I'm curious if you have a story.
It's definitely seeing the Publix sponsors like everywhere on the boards, the jerseys, like just having the Publix logo everywhere. One of our rinks is dedicated just to Publix.
That's awesome.
Pub subs for everyone. Yeah,
that's right.
I know Carter played in that rink. That's where the battalion were playing out of.
Okay.
You know, back in the day. So mine would be seeing, you know, people in the public skating wearing shorts. I still can't. I just don't understand that. But
oh, yeah, that's another one. I don't get it.
So, Adriana, what's the long term goal? 16, you know, you got a couple. Are you a sophomore right now in high school?
Well, no, I'm 13.
Oh, you're 13.
So you're playing up a division.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. See, mind blown right here.
Yes, okay.
Okay. So I guess what is the long-term goal then? Where do you want to take your hockey career?
I would like to at least play in college and then see what happens after that. I want to be able to play a high school team, a college team, and then whatever happens after that, we'll see.
Well, with the runway that's left, I mean, you got plenty of opportunity to keep working at it.
Yep.
Yeah. Very well-spoken young lady, 13. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I did not know that either. We'll get to the manager afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm going to have fantastic. To get with the, I'm going to have to get with the stats team on how I missed that, detail of our guest today for sure.
So I will throw this one. So you're playing U16, you're 13. How many, are there many 13, 14 year olds on the team, or what, are you the youngest on your team, or, and how is it playing against older girls?
So we do have a couple other 13 year olds. We have a couple 14 year olds with us too. It is fun to play the girls that are older than me. That size is a little different, but that doesn't really affect me at all.
No, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see how it continues. That's for sure. That's a big difference right there. You know, that 3-year gap at that age, we've talked about it, Jeff, you know, that's where, you've got people, kids that are maturing more than others. And sometimes when it gets physical, the game can definitely turn on its head. I love to hear what you're doing and seeing. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, I think you said a lot with, being an underager up a division, wanting to play the physical game, scoring goals, getting in there, playing the game. Obviously, what you're doing now is working, and what your future has in front of you is very bright. Kevin mentioned it, a great interview, very well spoken. We love talking to the players in the middle of their journey, hear what makes them tick, and hear what they're doing to get better and play the game. And we all love the game, and that's why we talk about it. So I know you got practice here soon enough, so we will let you go. Adriana, we very much appreciate taking a few minutes tonight, talking to us in the nest and sharing your story. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me share my story.
Absolutely. Kevin, we'll take a short break.
Looking forward to continue it. Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing that journey continue. Keep it up.
For sure. So we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. What a great interview with Adriana. I mean, what for the fact that she threw the curveball at the end that she's 13. Here we are, like, here I am thinking, right, U16, she's maybe 14, right, or 15. No, 13. I'm just 13 years old, conducting an interview, telling you all my life story, loving the game. Like, what an amazing young woman.
It's just a well-spoken young lady. And yeah, I was expecting fastball and my knees buckled with the curve. And, you know, I was walking to the dugout, bud. Correct. That didn't leave the shoulder. Yeah, no, awesome to hear how much the girls' game is growing, specifically up in the Jacksonville market. Exciting to see that it's expanding within Florida. And, you know, that only means better and bigger and better things for the women's game for the U.S., which, by the way, I believe, as I said earlier, they're playing Canada tonight in an exhibition game up in Buffalo. So if you can find it, it's well worth watching.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, like we talked about, right, there's a lot of new teams, or actually every team, I guess, would be new, right? This is their first year. So it's going to take some time to come together. And the struggles that some of these teams are seeing and the successes that other teams are seeing are going to ebb and flow throughout this season and get into next year. And as the, unfortunately, you know, just like you see with the professional league, right? Like, not every team is great. Some teams are better than others. It's all how they get put together. But the more interest that gets drawn to it, the more groundwork that gets laid is only going to be better. So, you know, for the struggles of some teams now is going to be the benefit of somebody else down the road. And that's just the way it goes. And it's awesome that these girls are out there, and her attitude is phenomenal. And she's really having a good time, and she's putting the work in, and she's doing what she can. And the team is doing what they can, but she said it, they're having fun. They're enjoying themselves. And that's all you can ask for, I guess.
Yeah. We've said it before. There's only one team that, you know, lifts the trophy at the end of the year. And, you know, as a Bruin fan, and Jeff, we'll say till the end of days, the St. Louis Blues, folks, were at the bottom of the league January 1 when they won against our Bruins in Game 7. So, you know, it's not how you arrive to the dance, it's how you leave. And as long as you have the head up, chin up throughout the way, anything can happen. But for those parents, it starts with you. You know, you got to be that positive energy, and the coach's positive energy for those kids, Because as Rich Barrett used to say, it's all about chicken fingers, French fries, baby, at the end of the day at that age.
I'm going to end the show with a Rich Barrett quote, because that is how you want to go out. Guy's a legend, beauty guy, Rich Barrett right there. Check out earlier episodes of the Greasy Pigeon podcast. We did a two-part with Rich Barrett. Still one of our most viewed clips, our most viral clip, is him telling everybody that we choose our players, most coaches, not just us, choose their players based on their parents more than the player when there's two players that are equal, because every coach in the world will deal with a better situation than a problem situation on the ice all day long. So go check out a few former episodes of our show with Rich Barrett. But Kevin, great job today as always. I'd love to thank Adriana again for joining us before practice today. Glad you got over the Blue Jays, buddy. Get some rest. We'll see you next time.
Always next year.
Always next year. Always next year. And for you, buddy, always next show.
You got her.
All right, buddy. Everyone else, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time in the Pigeon's Nest. Cheers.